Good afternoon. My name is Tyler Sams. I'm one of the evangelists for the Judson Road Church of Christ in Longview, Texas. Thank you for joining me again as we continue our study in the book of Psalms. Let's review some of where we've been before we move into new material today. As we have seen with the book of Psalms is a large book in the Old Testament comprised of five smaller books, and we'll look at those divisions here in a few moments. There are three major categories to the book of Psalms. There are the hymns, which are just general praises of God. There are the laments. And then there are the thanksgivings, which call to mind usually a specific episode in which God rendered aid. And now this psalm is in praise of God for the aid that he gave. The book of Psalms is poetry. It's written in a style of poetry called parallelism. We've looked at some of the types of parallelism we see in the Psalms. And then we've noted that we need to see the Psalms as the songbook and the prayer book of Old Testament Israel. These Psalms that we read in the book of Psalms are songs and prayers, and by their nature, songs and prayers are personal. Now, we may sing them publicly, we may pray them publicly, but ultimately it's a personal expression. Songs and prayers reflect personal situations, and so too do the Psalms. Scholar Walter Brueggemann has identified three personal experiences that are expressed in the Psalms. They kind of line up with our categorization of the Psalms with hymns and laments and thanksgivings. But these three experiences that are expressed in the Psalms really help us bring the Psalms to life, gain a deeper appreciation for the Psalms, and help us make ready application of these Psalms into our lives. The three personal experiences Brueggemann identifies, the first of which is what he would call a Psalm of orientation. And a Psalm of orientation is marked by its calm and serene nature. It contains meditations about the goodness and the faithfulness of God, of his person, of his character, of his law, things like that. The first psalm is a great example of a psalm of orientation. David would write and say, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. But the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." There's no hint of present trouble. There's no hint of past trouble that has been granted resolution. This is just praise and honor and magnification of God, of his law, of his way, of the person in whom he delights. Psalms of orientation, they're calm, they're peaceful, they magnify God. But then we also find in the book of Psalms, and perhaps this is the section of the book of Psalms that has been neglected the most in our culture, but perhaps would be the most appropriate for our culture. Psalms of disorientation. And in the Psalms of disorientation, we see raw, honest, emotive calls to God for help in the midst of hardship and difficulty. Look at the 13th Psalm with me. This is a phenomenal example. Look at Psalm 13. Here is David. Here is David, a man after God's own heart. Here is David anointed to be the king of Israel. Here is David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And David says, "How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Inspired by the Holy Spirit, words brought into Scripture. It's challenging, isn't it? It's raw. It's real, it's honest, it's emotive, it's challenging, but perhaps this is what God wants from us. when we find ourselves in these moments of disorientation, God wants us to cry out to Him. God wants us to look to Him. God wants us to come to Him as to a foundation and upon Him to build. These Psalms of disorientation, though challenging, especially in our culture today, are immensely beneficial for a Christian. Here are these raw and honest calls to God in the midst of hardship. There's only one psalm that I'm aware of that leaves us in this state of disorientation. And it's going to be the 88th Psalm. This is the only psalm that I'm aware of that ends with us still in the pit, we might say. Still in the state of disorientation. It's the 88th Psalm, and if you'll remember, and we'll notice here in just a few moments, this is also the conclusion of book number 2. You have removed lover and friend far from me, David says, Psalm 88 and verse 18. My acquaintances are in darkness. And that's where the psalm ends, in darkness. Sometimes we feel that if we're in the darkness, if we feel abandoned, if we feel isolated, that somehow we're feeling something that no one else has ever felt before. But that's not true. Here it's even in the Word of God, someone who had that same experience. Now, the point I think for us to take away is that in the other 149 Psalms, we're not left in this place. We're brought out of this place. And I think that's meaningful for us to remember. But sometimes we're going to feel like this, and it's okay. It's what we do in response to these situations that either makes us or breaks us. We've got Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and then we have what Brueggemann would call Psalms of reorientation. And this aligns very nicely with the Psalms of thanksgiving. God has answered, God has provided insight, and even if the hardship isn't totally removed, there is resolution that has come. Look, for example, at the 73rd Psalm. This is one of my favorite Psalms in the Old Testament. Psalm 73, a Psalm of Asaph. He begins in verse 1, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Asaph says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling, and my steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pains in their death. Their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness, and their imaginations of their heart run riot. So Asa finds himself in this place of confusion. He says, I nearly fell. I was trying to understand why things are the way they are. Here are the wicked. Why are they prospering while the righteous are suffering? And so in verse 12, Asaph continues, behold, these are the wicked, and always they are at ease. They have increased in wealth. So Asaph says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long, and I've been chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome to my sight. There's disorientation, right? I tried to figure it out. I couldn't figure it out, but keep reading, verse 17. Until I came into the sanctuary of God. Here's what those Psalms of disorientation ought to do. They ought to bring us to God. They ought to bring us to look to God for the solution, for the help, for the resolution that we need. Here's Asaph. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, verse 17, then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakens, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand with your counsel. You will guide me, and afterward, you will receive me to glory. Asaph says, I figured it out. not by myself, but by your help, God. I came into your sanctuary. I got the answer. I turned my heart. I inclined my ear toward you. I listened. I heard. And I found the resolution. Here's a psalm of reorientation. I'm in the darkness, but I turn to God, and in God I find the resolution, I find the answer, and now I'm turning my praise to God for the resolution that He has provided. Psalms of orientation, psalms of disorientation, psalms of reorientation. Maybe you remember this chart from our previous studies. We've got our five books, right? Book 1, Psalm 1 through 41. Book 2, Psalm 42 through 72. Book 3, Psalm 73 through 89. Book 4, Psalm 90 through Psalm 106. And then finally, Book 5, Psalm 107 through the end of the book. And we follow this chart, right? We're at a level place. We're going down into the valley. And then we're ascending up into the mountain. This arrangement of psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation fit the breakdown of the book of Psalms very nicely. In book 1, you have a lot of orientation. You have a lot of praise to God. We're at a very steady place. But beginning in book 2, and especially when we're into book 3, there's our 88th psalm, right, that we talked about, I'm in the darkness. We hit this period of disorientation. But then beginning in the 90th Psalm, what happens? We begin to climb out. We begin to find a resolution. We've turned to God and God's going to give the answers, and now we're moving to a new orientation. We're being reoriented. This breakdown of orientation, disorientation, reorientation is the entire movement of the book of Psalms from a bird's eye level. We're going from level to lower to higher. That's the big view of the book of Psalms. And that's what we're seeing when we come down and look at these individual Psalms. So how does this help me? Well, when things are going well, who deserves the thanks? Here's this period of orientation, right? When things are going well, who deserves the thanks? God does. So you look at Psalm 8, you look at Psalm 15. Here we are at the beginning of the book of Psalms in that period of orientation. How often do we thank God in the midst of peace and serenity? Boy, right now, when things are haywire, when things are not going well, when we're troubled, these are the moments that it's easy to turn to God. But what about when everything's going well? Do we turn to God then? We ought to. Psalm 8, Psalm 15, these Psalms of orientation, we're praising God for who He is, for what He is, and for what He's done. What about the Psalms of disorientation? When I am out of sorts, and that's a mild way of putting it, when I am out of sorts, what do I do? When I'm in this period of disorientation, what do I do? Well, the 79th Psalm, the 89th Psalm, two Psalms of disorientation that fit that disorienting curve in the book of Psalms. Do I go to God with honesty? You know, we read earlier in the book of Psalms, then we read Psalm 79, then we read Psalm 89. In the midst of these periods of disorientation, every author we're seeing composing these Psalms is honest and raw and emotive. Sometimes I think we have this perception that we have to be strong for God, that somehow we have to put on a mask and our big boy pants and somehow hide from God what we're truly feeling. But that's not the case. God wants honesty. God wants us to be real with Him. Now, that doesn't mean that we just unload on God and then walk away from the situation. We go to God, and something I think that's important that's just baked into the nature of the Psalms is Psalms are verbal. Right? They're written down. This isn't just David or Asaph or someone like that, Moses, thinking about how they feel, and then walking away from it. But in the Psalms, and what needs to happen in our lives, we're verbal. That is, words are used to convey our feelings, our location, our situation. That's what David does right in the 79th Psalm. Psalm 79, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance, or this is Asaph rather, pardon me. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your servants for food to the birds of heaven, the flesh of your godly ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water around about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision to those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste to his habitation. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. There's an intentionality to these psalms. This isn't just everything has boiled up and now I'm just kind of verbally vomiting it out towards God. But it's, this is how I'm feeling. This is why I am feeling this way. I'm searching for resolution. God, help me. And that's the design of these psalms. The design of these psalms of disorientation, and this is a lesson for us out of these types of psalms, is to instill a deeper and a realer faith in God from the situation that we're in. Asaph found it. David found it. You and I can find it too. When I am out of sorts, what do? I need to express my continuing faith in God and in His ability to bring resolution to my life. And then when that resolution comes, here are our psalms of reorientation. When that resolution comes, what do? Well, do I step back and look at the whole picture? Because that's what happens in these psalms. We're looking back to an episode in which God gave His aid. He gave His aid. The situation has resolved itself. And now I'm standing back looking at it and I'm giving God my thanks for it. When this period of reorientation comes, do I praise God for hearing me and for answering me? Do I make promises to God, but then when the good times come, I kind of forget those promises and lay them off to the side? Hopefully not. But what I need to do is I need to allow God's faithfulness to move me towards deeper faith in Him. That's what these Psalms of reorientation do. They call to mind when God has been faithful to answer to the cry of His servants. And from that point forward, we find a deeper and a stronger faith in Him because He has been proved faithful in the past and He remains faithful in the future. The 129th Psalm, the 139th Psalm, these are two Psalms of reorientation that fall into that reorientation curve in the book of Psalms that express this very idea towards us. So let's review. What do we see here when we're talking about these psalms? The psalms can help us navigate the difficult times in our lives. And the personal experiences we have in our lives are often the personal experiences that are expressed in the book of Psalms. Periods of orientation, periods of disorientation, and periods of reorientation. And when we identify the category and the experience of a particular psalm, this can help us better appreciate our God and can help us have a stronger and deeper and fuller faith in Him. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to studying with you in the future. Have a great day.